Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Thanks for checking out the Bobby Bones Show podcast. You know, I wanted to share an episode of the Bobbycast. It's a show I do from my house where I talk to creatives, right? Songwriters, artists, managers, record executives, a whole lot more. And sometimes I'll bring in Eddie and we just talk about music because we're both music nerds. Now, this is an episode we did where we broke down the best 25 duets of the last 25 years. And so I'll also throw in my best top five country duets as well. And if you like this episode, if you love music, you can subscribe to the Bobbycast and hear more. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, listen on iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. Here's episode 155 of the Bobbycast. Welcome to episode 155. Eddie is jumping in from the Bobby Bones Show, but the Sore Losers Podcast as well.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I come from another place.
Yeah. Eddie's my music friend. And we sit and we talk about music a lot, which is kind of where this stemmed from. I was reading an article that if you want a song to be a hit, the best thing to do is to bring another artist in.
Really?
Like most times when you bring another artist in, generates interest. Usually if you bring an artist in, that means they're good. People know them. So kind of duets are the thing. And we can look back at something like FGL Meant to Be, which...
Oh, BB Rexha, right.
Yeah. It is meant to be. And this song worked multiple formats.
Because BB Rexha is a pop artist.
And on the different formats, what's funny is they played to the strengths so much more. Meaning, country, they did a whole lot more of FGL and cut some of the BB.
Right.
Pop, they did a whole lot more BB and cut some of the Florida Georgia Line. Like, it was like this long piece that they could, you know, manipulate whichever way they needed to for people to listen to it.
I remember hearing that version of BB Rexha singing the... You don't need not her part. It's the regular Florida Georgia Line part. And I was like, that sounds so weird because I was used to the country version. Makes sense.
So the story is, and I can read you this here. A new study found that songs with featured guest artists or duos over the past two decades have become top 10 hits, right? And Maroon 5 and Cardi B.
Yeah. Going,
I need a girl like you.
Yeah.
That's a song. Is that the same song?
No, that's the same one.
Oh, yeah.
I like money moves.
This is Girls Like That. Is that the name of that song?
No.
They messed up the song. Mm-hmm.
Who did that?
That's why we're the expert on the podcast. Remember Katy Perry and Snoop Dogg doing California Girls?
Yo, that's a good one.
Yeah, so, and they list some of them. Eminem and Rihanna doing Monster.
Is that the fire one?
I'm with the monster. Eminem with Dido doing Stan.
Of course.
Remember how big that one was?
Huge. That's so, that one. Was that Stan?
Yeah. Yeah. No, not Stan.
No, it wasn't Stan.
Yeah, it is.
It is Stan.
Matisse Ronk. Yeah. So what happened with that one was, hey, biggest fan. My name is Stan.
Wow, you're right. I didn't realize that was Stan.
She put that out herself after that.
That song alone.
Mm-hmm. So.
Dang, dude. Teaching us stuff right now. I like that.
I wasn't planning to talk about that. I'm going from memory here. What was that Dido song called?
You can look it up.
No, I don't need to.
All right, I'll look it up because I need to.
Oh. It's probably called.
Teeth.
I want to thank you.
No, that's not it. For giving me the best days of my life.
Yeah. So she made this into a real song and released it after she was on it. Yo, Slim, it's me.
Dang.
And so that's the Eminem version. I remember hearing this first
and
time
so,
going, wow.
So this came out after Stan.
Yes, I believe. Again, I'm just going for, is that true?
Yeah.
Dang, dude. That's good stuff right there. I would have thought hip hop, they sample, this is original. This came first, then they sampled it for Stan, but no.
Not saying this wasn't already created, but it wasn't released.
That was released.
Isn't that cool?
So why aren't we like just infiltrated with duets?
We kind of are now. If you look around, features and duets, and that's my point, and I'm going to get to some of the new stuff, and even the best duets of the past 25 years. And by duets, it can also be a feature, right? I just use duet if there's two people singing in a song. But this is Stan.
You know what comes to mind? It's like John Mayer. Like he, I feel like he's the dude, like he dates a girl, he's like, hey, feature, duet with
I
me.
Know.
Cause like, really, like he did with Taylor, they were dating, right?
So I think that story, again, I'm just pulling stuff out of my butt right here. What I think about the Taylor one is, because that would be half of my heart.
Gotta be. Okay,
it's John Mayer, Taylor Swift. I believe that she was more prominently in the song from what I've heard. Could be wrong. And then once it didn't go so well, they kind of pulled her back a bit. She's only doing some background vocals.
Like really? Like she sang verses.
I don't know about verses, but she was definitely more in there. And then John Mayer and Katy Perry did who, it's not you who love, you love, who you love. Love.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Look up Half My Heart and see if there's any recollection or if I made it up or if I know Insider. Could be either one.
You're a huge John Mayer fan.
Huge
so.
John Mayer.
Like, and when you geek over this stuff, like what kind of research do? You just Google everything?
Or I talk to people that are really close.
You love, yeah. So you have that advantage.
Yeah, well, it's my job.
And those people, they just kind of vomit all that information out?
Yeah, because they know I don't share stuff. Like, if I know, like, there's stuff I know about songs of country music right now, who they're written about, it would shake the
heart. All right, let it rip.
No, but there's one song in particular that if I was like, oh, you know, this song's about blah, 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 the whole...
What?
Yeah.
Dang, that's crazy. And it's so cool they trust you with that.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you could really just like...
Oh, I could, but I don't want to because then no one will trust you ever again.
Correct.
Mike, do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-mm. No? Okay. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to say it. I'm not even going to allude to it.
Dang, that's so cool.
But if you prove trustworthy, then people trust you.
Yeah.
And you have to show that you're trustworthy in little bits first, and they give you middle bits. And then finally, people are like, I want love music, first and foremost, more than I love gossip.
I thought you were going to say God.
No.
More than I love gossip.
No, more than I love gossip or what it's about. Like, I love music. And the thing about my ex-girlfriend's record, when it comes out later, I haven't heard it. But there are songs about me, but I respect the music so much that she was like, hey, should I send you these songs? I'll send them to you. I was like, nope, because yeah. I'll be like, don't put it out. But I want your record to be what you want it to be.
Correct.
0 songs about me, 10 songs about me. It needs to be what you're feeling. So from respect for the music and you as an artist, don't send me crap. Because me, the human, is going to go, don't put that out. Me, the person who loves music, goes, I don't even want to hear it. You just should put out what you want to put out. And if it's slamming me or loving me or mostly slamming me, then that's what you should do. You know?
Mostly slamming me, yeah. You know, do you like knowing all that stuff, though? Like, do you like knowing what the song was written about? Because then your mind just takes you there.
I know. Sometimes not, because I like to assign, at times, my own narrative to things. Because yeah. I think we hear a song, we go, this makes me feel this way. But if we know what it's really written about, we can't feel the way that we would have loved to have felt. Or we feel the way that we were needing to feel.
Right.
Mike, do you find anything about that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, then it's probably not true.
Well, you know, not
so. You released another version again without her, but didn't say why.
Okay, so that could be it.
Yeah.
It could be that the version that you're hearing without her really is because they pulled her back off of it because they decided she shouldn't be on it. That really could be it.
So I wonder how all these go down too. Like, how do they get asked?
They probably say, they're probably laying in bed.
I was just thinking.
Baby, you don't think of me?
And that's it. You're like, all right, let's go.
What's that, Mike?
This one, he said he tweeted Taylor.
No, but they were dating, I thought. Or maybe it was after
I
the
think
fact.
He was dating Jennifer Aniston at the time.
And then they recorded and then fell in love?
I don't know. No, because did he date Aniston after Taylor? Or before? And you know what?
He maybe wrote it about Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. I know stuff about it. It doesn't matter. I know too much. I'm going to stop talking.
Okay.
There are those places, too, where I have to stop talking.
I got you.
Because I know too much. And I don't even like to say I know too much because then it's like, shut up.
Oh, cool guy.
Yeah, but
I
have to stop because I'm going to say something I'm supposed to say. That being said,
I want to hear this list.
This whole thing is the best duets of the last 25 years. And one of the recent duets is Brantley Gilbert and Lindsay L. This song
right.
flying up the charts right now.
Your ex-girlfriend?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What Happens in a Small Town. When I read that article about features and duets, I was like, oh, this is what's happening now with the Brantley Lindsay song. Not because she's my ex-girlfriend, but separate. So there's that one, What Happens in a Small Town. We'll do some country ones first. All right, let's. By the way, Eddie was like a bad goodbye.
Dude, I just like. I mean, when this song came out, and I'm kind of like you with like the emo music, like stuff that just pulls your heart. Dude, I remember being young, listening to this song, and getting teary eyed. And I'm like, what do I know about this crap?
It's Clint Black and Wynonna, right?
Wynonna Judd.
Now, to be fair, this is not inside the 25 years.
I missed it by what, one
year?
Missed
it year?
By a year. We've known that for a while. I'm sure it's something.
Can you fast forward? Because when they hit that like towards the end when they go power.
Like, I haven't heard the song so much. It's giving me like chills remembering like being a kid hearing this.
Take it, dude.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
How far do you want to go up?
And in my
well, when they both, because one of them does a verse after this and then they do it together, well, yeah. That's the powerful.
There's no good when you're the one who's goodbye.
That's why we don't do
would never buy your fire.
I'm trying to get to it.
Yeah, keep going, keep going.
You through keep going.
Here it is.
I don't know where we'll go from here. There may be no way to fly. And the cloud I'm in just makes it all too clear that I can't leave you.
Dude, yeah. I can't. So you remember it?
Of course.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That was so powerful, and I don't even know if it was huge or it made.
I listened to it all the time. I kissed a 96. That's why I knew it, yeah. Bro.
Mine was K Frog.
Yeah, I know all
down
time.
The valley.
So it didn't make the list, but I did put it up here because that was yours.
Yes.
I'm gonna do this commercial real quick. We'll come back and we'll go through the list. By now, you may be racking your brain. Valentine's Day. What are you gonna get her? 1-800-Flowers.com. I'll say it right now because it is not complicated. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are a no-brainer right now when you order early. 1-800-Flowers has amazing deals on vibrant and romantic Valentine's rose bouquets, arrangements, and so much more, starting at $29.99. There are so many unbelievable deals from 1-800-Flowers, but you have to hurry. Gorgeous Valentine's bouquets, all the arrangements, starting at $29.99. It's an amazing deal, but it will not last long. I'm telling you, so many of the listeners, so many of my people have done this. They love it. To order Valentine's bouquets, arrangements, and more starting at $29.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, enter the code BBS. The code is BBS. You're listening right now. Maybe you don't have it yet. That's why I'm here. 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter the code BBS, as in Bobby Bone Show, BBS. I love that Dollar Shave Club has everything that I need to look, feel, and smell my best. And what I love even more is the fact that I never have to go to a store. That's because, well, one, Dollar Shave Club delivers everything that I need right to my door. And two, they keep me fully stocked on what I use so I don't run out. It works like this. They got it all. No matter what you're getting ready for, head to toe. Your hair, your skin, your face, you name it, Dollar Shave Club has it. That's what I love about it, too, because I have it set up that the toothpaste is sent to me. The Dollar Shave Club toothpaste, it's sent every 3 months, comes to my door because for some reason I always forget to go buy toothpaste. And it's also great toothpaste as well. They have a handsome discount. The more you buy, the more you save. Right now, they have a bunch of starter sets you can try for just $5, like their oral care kit. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at a regular price. Boom. I don't know what you're waiting for, because you can get your starter set right now for $5. DollarShaveClub.com/bones. DollarShaveClub.com/bones. I love it. DollarShaveClub.com/bones. Okay, so we'll start with country duets. My favorite.
He put that
Whiskey Lullaby.
That is your favorite.
It's such a good song. Brad Paisley, Alison Krauss.
Finally drank away her memory.
And Brad Paisley writes most of his songs. He didn't write this one. And I remember Brad coming in once and I was like, dude, that's my favorite song you ever done. And I don't know if that's insulting. Or it's not an insult, but it's like, oh, ball that was.
Insulting because to him he's done so much.
Yeah, and he's had so much. So he's had so many songs he's written and put out his. He was Entertainer of the Year. He's done everything.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But this song, these slow songs.
With a note that said I love her till I die.
This is one of the best, like top five best country duets. And I have my top five. They're not really in any order. This other one was not a single. This, I'll Be the Moon.
Oh, dude, I listen to this now still. Like, it's in my rotation of songs to listen to.
Yeah, and I'll Be the Moon is
Dierks and Maren Morris.
Yeah, Ryan Hurd wrote this.
And dude, honestly, and I'm pretty good at listening to music and breaking down lyrics and kind of understanding what they're saying. And I never really paid attention to it. But when Ryan one time talked about this and talked about, you know, it being an affair and them being okay with that, it was like, And that's what it means. Like, you're going to metaphorically call that the sun and the moon. Like, he can be the sun, and I'll be on the other side of the world, be the moon.
And it's like, I'm okay waiting if that's the only way I can have you. Is that I'll be the moon.
That's intense.
Right?
Like, that to me is like, that's just the thinking that never would cross my mind, and they turned it into a song, a beautiful song.
I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a secret, but I will if you want me.
They came in and played this from Dirks' record.
Yeah.
I had Dirks and Maren come in and play this together.
Beautiful.
They were like, is that not a single? I was like, I don't care. Just play it.
He can be the sun. I'll be the moon.
Okay, but you said that they do these things kind of like as a, like they're most, the data says these are most successful, so this is kind of why labels do sometimes put these together and arrange them and release them.
Yeah.
But in this case, this wasn't even a single?
It wasn't a single. I don't know why. And sometimes they don't make those decisions till later. They could have recorded it going, this would be a single, and then for some reason, ended up changing
Interesting.
It. I remember Dirks put out a song called What the Hell or something, and they pulled it because Dirks didn't like Hell being a single.
Mm.
And so all those factors, and it may or may not have changed what the next single was, because you don't do two slow songs in a row. You don't do, you know, so I don't know why, but that song is so good. That's in my top duets of the past 25 years. I also have Picture from Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow.
I mean, it's classic, right?
I found your picture.
2001, 18 years ago.
I swear I'll change my way.
Would you consider this country?
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't think Sheryl was country then. She's not country now, really. Kid Rock's never been country.
Kind of.
He lives in Nashville now. I mean,
he's had a country hit, though.
Has he?
Yeah. Though.
With
Werewolves of London and Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, yeah, I guess that was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was that?
Dun, dun, dun.
It's hard to sing another song when this one's playing. What was that one called?
He was fishing on the docks.
All summer long. That song, though, Mike, if you pull it up, Picture, Sheryl Crow wasn't the original singer on that song.
Who was?
Another country artist.
Really?
Yeah. And so.
And again, they were dating. Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow, were they not when this was a thing?
Oh, I don't know if they were dating then or not.
Because I feel like that's special too. Like if there is romance between that.
It's probably how you get them, or you get them in the studio and then you start dating after it.
It's like a little tactic that you do?
Yeah, it's like, hey, I want to meet somebody. How do I get them to come in?
Ask them to do a duet.
It's like putting somebody in a music video. Who is it? Alison Moore? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she was the original one on the song.
Oh, I mean, huge, huge advantage to put Sheryl Crow on it. Like, that could have made the song.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
That's a good one. That's one of my top. I love this You and Tequila from Kenny Chesney and Grace Potter.
Oh, yeah.
2010.
You and tequila make me crazy.
Jam, right?
So good.
Run like poison in my blood.
Harmonies right here.
One more night could kill me, baby. One is one too many. One more is never enough. When it comes
good,
to
huh?
You.
So good.
Put that on the list. Another one that I put in is the Brooks and Dunn with Reba.
Yeah.
Cowgirls Don't Cry.
Yes. Is that a duet or a triplet?
Well...
Or is that a three-way? Is that a threesome?
It's two artists. Like, Brooks and Dunn's considered an artist. Yeah. But, yeah.
They should make another category for three. And then they would dominate, obviously, because this is good.
But it's like two artists.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Cowgirls don't cry.
The whole song is like, the dad's like telling her, hey, you fell off a horse, cowgirls don't cry, get up. Hey, this happened, cowgirls don't cry, get up. And then at the end, the dad's dying. And she's like, she's the cow. She's like, because cowgirls don't cry. And it's
turn it on him.
Whoa. That's a good one. I put that in the top five. And if I had to do one more, because I have a bunch of them up here. Whiskey Lullaby, I'll Be the Moon, Cowgirls Don't Cry. Oh, that's five. You know the one that
you have more? You have more on there?
I do. Like, this is probably the ultimate.
It's your love.
It's probably the biggest.
Again,
the ultimate.
We know Tim and Faith. Like, they're married. It's love. So that makes all this way more special than two artists singing a song.
I wonder if there are a lot of duets where people were together and now they hate each other. And did we feel worse about it? Because on the show, on the radio show, we were talking about the song from Dixie Chicks, Cowboy Take Me Away, was written about Emily Robinson and Charlie Robinson.
No longer together.
And they're not together, but it was written about you know, them seeing that happen.
Yep. It's written about Emily falling in love with
Marty
Charlie.
Wrote it with Marcus Humman about Emily and Charlie.
Falling in love with Charlie.
And now they're not together. But if you know that story, do you think of it differently and go, oh, this was written about their love?
Well, ever since you told that story, I heard it a couple times after that. And I've automatically thought about that story now. So I don't even think about, I mean, I don't know. I never thought about anything. But now I think about Charlie and Emily. Like, it doesn't kill it that they're not together, because that's real life. The fact that they got divorced, whatever, real life. We never would have known that. That story wasn't even out. But the song, I mean, that still lives. Like, you talk about, that song still lives. And if it was about them falling in love, it'll always be about them falling in love.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Alan Jackson, Jimmy Buffett.
Ooh, Jimmy Buffett.
Did you like this one?
Yes.
You like Jimmy Buffett, though.
He's my favorite.
I was never a lover of this song.
There was a guy in high school named Brian Wagner, and this dude was like a surfer kind of kid or whatever, and his parents were big Jimmy Buffett fans, and he got me into Jimmy Buffett. And I loved that whole like party, margaritas and parrots and like tropical vibe. Like, I just loved his, whatever he stood for.
That's your thing.
I'm a beach guy, man. Yeah. Buffett's my dude. So when you put Alan Jackson, who was, I mean, the king of just country music, 90s country, really, like Chattahoochee and all that, and then put them together with Jimmy Buffett and Loving Life.
I wonder how many of these two were sang in the same studio back in the day versus now.
It's a good question, because you have, we have, like the Raging Idiots, you have duets with...
We have duets.
With Carrie Underwood.
Carrie, Charles Kelly.
Kelsey Ballerini. So, and how many of those were done in the same
room?
None. Exactly.
Well, maybe same room, but we went through at the same time. Like when Carrie went up to sing, you were there, I wasn't there.
Correct.
And I think I may have been sick or something, and Carrie went up and just nailed it and was like, all right.
So that's just us. And why would you try to schedule time in your busy schedule to both be in the same room? Unless it's a special moment, you have to be there. Like, why would you? Why would you record at the same time? Technology, man.
A video.
Okay. I guess that was, I mean, videos now, like.
No, they don't really matter that much anymore. Yeah. People spend way too much money on videos now.
And I've never, I don't see them.
You can just put up a lyric video.
The one with the bouncy ball on the bottom?
Yeah, just anything. Yeah. One more. Garth and Trisha.
Come on, dude.
Jam. Big jam. I'm afraid that I can't. You know what? I've realized while talking about this, I like my duets slow.
What's a fast one? Have we talked about one fast
5 o'clock somewhere.
Okay, yeah, that's true. They don't
realize. But all my favorites, the ones I pulled, are all slow ones.
Yeah. You did say BB Rexha and Florida Georgia. Oh, that was an example.
That was
wasn't
an example,
your top.
Yeah. But again, such a big one. Like, massive. Right. Dan and Shay, not a duet. But they're two dudes. Tequila was such a big song.
Yeah.
Had the FGL song not existed, that song would have set every record. But that's how big the FGL song was. It blew people's
minds. Huge.
It was so big that haters in country music didn't even want to acknowledge it. It was that big.
Country music haters.
That they didn't even want to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Pop, here you go. Ready for some of the best duets?
Come on.
Past 25 years. Yeah. Jay-Z, Alicia Keys.
Please. Please. Brooklyn. Now Empire State of Mind.
2009.
Still good.
Yes. It comes on. But Eddie, I wonder if it's because we're in our late 30s.
This wasn't my thing. Like, I wasn't listening to this kind of music when it came out, but it stood out over everything else when it did come out. So I was like, I don't care. I love it.
And then Alicia Keys put the song out after that. It's just a song. In New York.
Would it have been a bigger song if it was Beyonce? Because, again, I feel like it's really important.
Beyonce's not from New York.
Texas. He does acknowledge that in that song, too. Yeah. BK's from Texas.
I think that the reason that Alicia Keys does it...
She's a New York girl.
...is because it's a New York girl and you need someone. And Jay-Z's a New York guy.
Yeah.
So I don't think it could have been Beyonce.
Speaking of, maybe off track a little bit, but do you think Alicia Keys is going to do good at the Grammys?
Yeah, she'll be fine. They won't put her in a situation to not do well.
Okay.
Meaning they're not going to have her up doing a comedy monologue.
I just don't see her as a host.
Okay, I don't think they have her as a traditional host. Like, she'd come out and do something a little funny. She'd probably play a little funny song maybe on her piano. They won't take someone like that who's so good at what they do and put them in a whole new world and give them a chance to fail. You get someone like that for their name, what they're good at, and you let them do what they're good
okay.
at. You know what I mean?
It's a good answer.
Do you remember Mariah Carey, Boys to Men, One Sweet Day?
Mm-mm.
What?
No, play it. Let me see.
And I know you're shining down on me from heaven. No?
No.
This song was massive. They sang this together in the studio.
I've heard
the
that.
Whole video is that. from heaven. Many friends we lost along the way. And I know. And this song was so big. It was number one for like 12 weeks.
Yeah, I've heard it.
One sweet day. It was Boyz II Men at their height and Mariah Carey. That's a massive song. Holy crap, that was a big one. Remember this? This is Meghan Trainor John Legend from 2015. Wasn't like a super, super, super smash, but I loved it.
Gosh, I feel like that was last year.
Like I'm saying goodbye.
You like those rolls.
Love it. Because I hit them
runs,
so good.
They call runs?
Yeah, runs. Yeah. Shallow from Star Is Born.
Oh, yeah, it's
Bradley
a good
Cooper,
song.
Lady Gaga.
Actually, a great
Tell
song.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'll fall.
You like the movie?
I've never seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen this movie?
Nope.
I'm not going to be one that goes, it's the greatest movie ever, because it's not, but it's really good.
But when you say something's really good, it's usually right. You don't really, you're not the follow the hype kind of guy.
No, and so, I wanted to not like it. That's how much not follow the hype guy I am. I wanted to be like, come on, guys. Let me roll my eyes.
But it's good.
Yeah, it was.
I've seen other versions, so I kind of know how it goes.
Y'all get him singing that for this clip we have.
What do you think about him, though? Like, I mean, this is going to, it's already won some awards, right?
They're playing it at the Oscars.
Right. So I mean, this is Bradley Cooper.
This is why I like it so much. The movie is because he had to do that. Like he had to
sing.
He had to learn to play guitar.
Oh, he didn't know how to play guitar or anything?
Nothing.
Wow.
And sing and do, and then he gets on and does a great job.
Props to him, man.
And then as someone who, you know, plays music, and then I know like in the big scene at the beginning where he's playing this huge stadium, or no, it's a huge festival. Like that was we played
Coachella.
Stagecoach. Stagecoach.
Yeah.
And like you just see all the things they had to do to make that movie work, and it's really cool.
Yeah,
you'll like it. You should watch it.
I will.
Yeah, and then it reminds you of like other artists too that we know, and you're like,
well, and then Eddie Vedder is my favorite.
And he went and lived with Eddie Vedder.
He did to kind of learn his behavior, mannerisms.
Yep. Remember this one, Dilemma, Nelly and Kelly Rowland.
Of course,
it shook up every.
Of course.
You know the other one was Nelly and Tim McGraw.
Yeah, which I'm surprised that wasn't one of the country ones.
Well, because it wasn't country.
Was that a
big pop
song?
Hit? Yeah, over and over. Country didn't play it at all. Only pop did, because it's all in my head. Shook my world up.
Dang, dude, you're right.
Yeah.
It's all in my head.
I think about it over and over again. I mean, think about when this came out for Tim McGraw to get on a rap record. It wasn't something everybody was doing. Country wasn't doing that.
Wearing his cowboy hat.
And for Nelly to be able to see out to the box and go, let's bring on a country singer. They were way ahead of their time.
Nelly's got something in him where he kind of like maybe doesn't see genre lines or something because he's real close to country.
Like maybe he's from Missouri.
Maybe that's
like, always what I thought. Like you grow up in the Midwest, you know, some would consider it this almost the South.
Yeah.
That you have country roots.
And he did
Country
Cruise. Country Grammar, all of that. I feel like he does have deep country roots.
Didn't he put a song they wanted to go country? At one point, I think Nelly did.
Oh, yeah. Not too long ago.
This shook it. That shook. BB REXA, FGL, Meant to Be, obviously. You know what song I loved as a duet was, and these are the best duets of the past 25 years, in my opinion, that Pink and that Nate Ruess from Fun. When they did Just Give Me a Reason, that was.
Can't learn to love again. Just give me a reason, just a little bit's enough.
I love this song.
Yeah. That's clearly a Fun song, right? Like the band Fun.
I would think
because it sounds
so.
Like them.
I hate they're not together anymore.
Me too,
I
man.
I loved Fun.
Like, this guy's got one of the best voices I've ever heard. His range, he goes so high. He'd sound like a girl sometimes. He goes so high.
They and must have something going on. Because Jack, the guy now, is in the bleachers.
Yes, he's the guitarist.
And bleachers are good now.
But like, that's not Fun.
But Fun was, when Fun came out.
Sounds like we're saying, but that's not Fun, man.
The band isn't even like current to people.
And they only had what? They weren't around for that long, right? Like, as far as their like huge success, I remember a blip of their.
4 years.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Fun's first song.
Some Nights.
Was it Some Nights?
No, no, no. That sounds like it's that one.
We Are Young. I thought it was We Are Young.
That's it.
I could be wrong.
What? My friends are in the bathroom getting higher than the Empire State. My lover, she's waiting for me just across
the bar. This is not a duet. The band was just so good. And then Nate Ruess can never take off himself.
I know I gave it to you months ago.
That was good. And then after that was, I believe, Some Nights.
Some nights and then...
Here, this is that jam.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in.
But my favorite was Carry On.
Me too. Still.
God, it's such
still
a
my
song.
Favorite. I love it.
Again, I'm a sucker for slow
some
piano.
Nights and a fist fight.
Carry On, Carry On!
Yeah, so good.
Well, I woke up to the sound.
I'll listen to this today now that I'm reminded of it.
We're cutting like knives.
Today. You're going to listen to All Fun today.
After Maroon 5 played, I was like, yeah. I was like, play Maroon 5, Alexa. And I was just jamming out to some other stuff.
You know what what trail I went down recently was the 27 Club trail.
Oh, all the good people.
I didn't mean to, but I just kind of started listening to all their music and kind of brought me down a little bit. I wouldn't suggest doing that.
Because they all died early?
Yeah.
But can I give you the other side of that?
Yep.
A bit of the darker side of it, and not in a bad way, but I would say, because here's, you want to give the story of the 27 Club?
Yeah. 27 Club is the age 27 that a group of artists, I would say artists because they're even, I mean, I even think maybe Heath Ledger's in it as well, but like artists died at age 27 and they call it the 27 Club because they're all probably still together in heaven or something, you know, something like that.
They all died at 27.
Yep.
Right. So, okay, let's get one on as I tell the story. For example.
You're going Cobain.
No, I was going to go Jimi Hendrix. But,
okay.
Nirvana, Amy Winehouse.
Yep. Jim Morrison.
A lot, right? Here's my theory as to why it's actually not bad, which makes it kind of dark. I don't think they would have been able to create such magic stuff had they been normal. You know, this is my theory anyway.
Yes.
To create...
And we always have the argument.
To create crazy stuff, you have to be crazy. To create crazy good stuff that's so different, you have to be different. And I would say what made them special is also what killed them. That they were out of control... You know, where they were out of control musically and had no rules, they were also out of control in their personal life that had no rules. You can't just kind of pick a spot and go, I'm fully nutty in this part of my life, but you know what? I'm going to count it the rest of the day. So the fact that Kurt Cobain was able to take a sound and elevate it, they didn't create that sound. You know, they were actually the first ones from that scene to bust through with that sound.
Correct.
But the fact that he was able to do that, he was only able to do that because he was nuts. That music would have never happened had he not been reckless and crazy and nuts. And that same characteristic is what killed him. So if he didn't have the characteristic that killed him, he wouldn't have had the characteristic that made the music. Amy Winehouse, same thing. Jim Morrison from The Doors. Like, that dude was insane but genius at the same time. And what killed him was his insanity. So my thing is, okay, it sucks they all died at 27, but we'd have never had their music had they not been nutty to begin with. Does that make sense?
It does. And I agree with you for some of them. I don't agree with Jim Morrison or Amy Winehouse because...
What?
Because Jim Morrison had a band, like a really good band that made really good music.
Yeah.
He was the poet of that band. But you know, like he wrote...
He was nuts
but we don't,
in a great way.
I think music historians and music geeks talk about like, oh, but listen to the lyrics of Light My Fire. And I'm like, listen to that sound. And listen to his voice.
Yeah.
And listen to The Doors as a whole.
But
him, he was a good poet.
But here's what I'm saying.
Crazy
about
lyrics that no one ever understands anyway.
I love your thought. I do. I love your thought, right?
What?
He had to be a total package frontman for this to be seen.
He would perform backwards with his back towards the crowd.
Exactly my point. And he also pulled his pecker out and played, you know.
Right, and no one liked that.
But
my mom didn't like that.
The Doors would not be legendary without him doing frontman things. Lots of people make good music. Lots of people make good music. We don't hear all the good music because of good music. There's something else about it that makes it go, oh, I don't know if you can ever try this.
Yeah.
Name a band that's boring but makes fantastic music and got famous.
Zac Brown Band. I'm not saying they're boring. They're just what's to them. They're great, talented, that make band that makes good music, but they're not like
but they're current and still
crazy.
Again, we can't assign their place in history yet. Zac Brown Band.
Okay. Alabama. You know what I mean? Like, they make good...
I don't think you can be... My point... they're not mutually exclusive.
Like Amy Winehouse. We'll talk about her for a second.
Did you watch the documentary?
I did. And I loved it. But me as a consumer, I didn't know anything about that.
Let me finish on The Doors real quick.
Yeah.
You're saying he did all this crazy... The Doors wouldn't be The Doors without him doing all that crazy stuff, is my point. Because their legend and their nuttiness preceded them. Like, you knew that was nuts before it even got to you.
Sure.
And it made it bigger.
And the fact that he died made it bigger.
Absolutely. All of it did.
Died living that way.
So they wouldn't have made their art if they didn't live an arty lifestyle. A lot of arty lifestyles are filled with excess. Some arty lifestyles aren't filled with excessive drugs and alcohol. Some are filled with excessive working out. Mm. You have to find your excess.
Tim McGraw's.
They happen to find theirs in, physical.
Sure. Like, because I agree.
Substance.
I agree with Jimi Hendrix. He would have never, like...
He wouldn't have made that music.
All that music would have never come out if he wasn't on acid.
Same thing with Kurt Cobain. You think he's making that stuff if he's not on heroin?
Correct. And that's why I won't disagree.
Is doing that.
She had her voice.
Soul came from pain, and that pain wasn't influenced a bit with the drugs and the alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm not even arguing that I'm absolutely right. That's my theory on it.
I had to explain to my kids, because my kids were with me when I was listening to it, and I just got into this hole of talking to them about the 27 Club, and I really explaining to them what happened to them. You know, it's like, how do you explain to an 11-year-old why they were in the 27 Club? They made bad choices. Like, they were too creative. They didn't know how to handle certain things in their life. Like, it's sad, because when you're 27, you're like, dude, whatever, man, do whatever, live your life that way. It's cool. When you're older and you have kids and a family, you're just like, damn, that sucks. I didn't make it past that.
Yeah.
Because Jim Morrison probably wouldn't. I mean, if he were still alive.
So young.
So young.
Janis Joplin. You watched the documentary on her?
I did.
Right. Again, she doesn't make that super soulful, painful music without pain. And what do you do with pain? You try to make the pain go away. And how do you make the pain go away? Well, one of the ways is
drugs.
Expression. So, yeah, that's my point.
All right.
Have to be right, but that's how I feel. We wouldn't, if they didn't die, that what killed them made them awesome.
Hey, how many times do we have this conversation?
A lot. the crazy thing about Janis Joplin, we've spiraled and we'll
go back to duets.
We'll finish. We're almost done anyway. But the crazy thing about Janis Joplin is that her biggest hit didn't even come out until she was dead.
Which is Me and Bobby McGee.
Yeah. And she didn't write it. Chris Christopherson did. That's right, right?
Yes, that's right.
From memory.
Yeah.
So this didn't even come out really until she was dead.
Wow. So who gets all that money?
He does. He wrote it. I mean, she gets some of the master. I don't know how deals were done then. You know, there's far less money in being the artist. If you don't write the song, there's really not a lot of money in making the record. A couple tricks that artists do now is, and I'll just speak in general terms, if you're a major, major artist, you can almost demand writing credit even if you don't write. You can get in and change.
That's just a split of the money.
You can get in and change.
As a writer.
And it's different because in pop world, you can get in at 3%. So let's say I'm just going to use someone I don't know anything about on that level, a Beyonce.
Yep.
And Beyonce doesn't touch a word of her song. She could go in if there are five other songwriters and be like, hey, listen, I'm not even going to cut it unless I get a writer's credit. Let me change a word.
And what are they going to do?
Nothing.
Like, tell her no?
Beyonce to cut
they
it.
Want
That's exactly
it.
Yes. In the country world, it's different because here it's all on equal percentages for the most part.
And there's a respect here of, like, you don't cross anyone.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Most. I know artists who've got on songs that didn't pop. Yeah. But most of the time. One in particular where I was like, that's dirty.
I remember this.
Yeah.
I remember thinking the same thing.
Dirty.
Dang.
One, they changed one word only so they could get a writing credit on it.
It's a word for a third. I believe they say that now.
So if there's two writers and you change a word, you're now a third writer of the song. So if you sing on a song, you get a little bit of the master money, but it's all in songwriting, all in publishing.
Yeah. You know, one time when I was in my old band, like, you know, whatever, 15 years ago.
Rumtide. Look it up online.
Rumtide.
Yeah.
I did a Bob Dylan cover and I put it up on MySpace. And like within 2 days, Bob Dylan's publishing was just like,
It's probably
like,
Bob. Eddie.
Hey,
why
listen,
are you putting my song up?
First off, it's terrible.
This is Bob Dylan, Bob's brother.
Yeah. And it was two options. One, you can pay us, or two, just take it down now, like pretty much, which is like, you know, we were just a dumb band, like a garage band. We're like, okay, take it down. Bob Dylan doesn't like this.
Well, this was the best duets of the last 25 years. And I believe that's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah.
Anyway, point is, duets features are massive. You want to get a hit, get somebody on that's different and as cool or cooler than you, hopefully. because people like to see a song with multiple people on it. It's like having it for dinner. Do you want one course?
Yeah.
Sure, it's good. Like chicken, but it's cool to get some corn on there too.
Sure. Like, you know, like you go to Chili's, they have like the just pick two of this whole item, like pick three of the item. You want a little bit of everything. I get it.
Thanks, Janis Joplin. Watch the documentary and go read the story about this song, because it's fantastic. That's what I know her from, is this song for the most part. You know, with her too, it's like, I mean, what a piece of my heart, which Faith Hill ended up doing later. Yeah.
Mercedes-Benz.
Faith Hill made Piece of My Heart a hit. People didn't know that was a Janis Joplin song. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me Mercedes-Benz. Yeah.
My friends all drive Porsches.
I must make amends.
God, so good, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Good talk, dude. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming by the podcast.
Yep.
That's episode 155. Thanks to our sponsors. And that's all. We'll see you soon. We should have Laura Velt on next, right? Episode 156. All right. She's written a bunch of songs. No duets, though, for me. But in her, yet.
Yet.
Our podcast
yet.
Duet. Yes. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see. By the way, check out Eddie's podcast, the Sore Losers Sports Show podcast. Eddie runs that show.
Well, Lunchbox would argue with me.
But that's what he does the whole show.
He says he is the sports genius. Therefore, he knows everything about sports.
There you have it. Also, check out The Velvet's Edge with Kelly Henderson. It's a lifestyle podcast for you ladies out there. Really good. All right. Thank you. See you next time, everybody.